You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Ed Alexander, good morning.
Thank you.
Now, did you watch this whole game last night?
I sure as hell did.
I know I didn't.
I know you did.
I fell asleep, literally. My wife, you know, was like putting me to bed like, all right. It was still going on.
Guess what? LSU won.
I know.
Yeah. And now, you still owe me money. You still owe me lunch.
It's true. Now, what I'm hearing here.
Yeah. Yeah.
So a friend of mine sent me a text. One of my text messages.
You shouldn't go to Vegas. That's what I'm hearing.
It said, if Coach Ogeron was not such a wussy, you would have won your bet. You're the king of prognostication. I bow to your prowess.
Oh, yeah.
So the idea is, now, it's true. It sounds like they could have punched it in at the end, but they took a knee.
Yep.
Which, of course, would have gave me, that would have been a 24-point victory at that point.
Didn't happen.
All right. It's true. And actually, the part that in the end that hurt me was that first quarter. When they kept on getting trapped in their own end zone there.
They just couldn't
get it going.
Yeah.
But don't get me wrong. You were a little nervous there for a while, right? You thought I could.
I
might have pulled off the 21-point spread, right?
You might have, but yeah,
It was 17 by the end.
What was the Vegas line was like 3.5, something like that. What was it? I can't remember.
Vegas. What are those idiots?
What did they know?
I was already on top of this.
They all know a lot.
Well, no, if they were, I don't know what the spread was, but if it really was 3 and LSU wins by 17, then they didn't get it.
Maybe somebody will know because I didn't look it up because all I knew is I had
for entertainment 21. Purposes only. It was, as we like to say,
or in Vegas for real money.
Right.
Yeah. But
we have so much stuff. We got 3 great interviews today. Well, 8 o'clock is not just an interview, it's a discussion, but, well, they're all discussions, right? But Phil Kirpin, American Commitment, he calls in once a month. Mm-hmm. He's got a topic he wants to talk about. Tim Sandifer from the Goldwater Institute, lead attorney. He's got there's a suit about these empowerment scholarships. I just was reading E.J. Montini, who literally is like, I would call him like Fitz that writes columns instead of pictures up in the Republic, was losing his mind about Tim in this morning's paper, so that's appropriate in the Republic. And then the young buck from Tipping Point, Zach Yenser, is going to spend the third hour. We're going to talk about workforce development is one of our topics today. Because I keep making fun of it in relation to how some of these economic development / chamber people keep talking about workforce development.
For what they do, the Chamber of Commerce, not just chamber people. They do have a chamber.
I can't say that Chamber of Commerce or Amber will do another rant.
Oh, you can't say Chamber of Commerce?
No, because if I make fun of them, then Amber says I'm a misogynist.
Well, how about if I tell you that if they're the Chamber of Commerce, they should be working for commerce, for small businesses and large businesses.
We're going to have this discussion. He's going to educate, and I have what I think workforce development really means. And my big take with some of these organizations is there's other things they should be working at, but this always sounds nice. And the first local morons to really start working this with was the Trio people when they figured out it's really hard to book people to come into this town to do business. So we'll talk about that.
So they just talk.
We'll explain this in the third hour.
Okay.
Okay.
It's 5.5 was the spread.
See? I'm just telling you, Vegas missed it.
Yep.
We have lots of stories to do today.
Hmm.
Now, first and foremost, public shame does work. Barney emailed me around lunchtime yesterday that Joseph Morgan did take the picture down with him and Mark Napier, the unauthorized picture.
The unauthorized.
The picture was unauthorized, but putting it up was unauthorized. And so after Morgan was getting his hackles up on Barney and telling him, "Well, you tell Mark to call me himself." I guess you do a little public shame on the radio, and he came to his senses. What a beautiful child. We do have a new entry into the Congressional City 2 Republican race.
Mm-hmm.
It's a guy that I've known for about 10 years, actually, when we first started the show. His name's Eric Rudin. He owns Essential Pest Control here in town. He's, he was very active politically when we first started. And then, like a lot of us, your kids get to, grow up and you're
getting away.
He was coaching a lot of softball games.
Cool.
For it. I'm a soccer nerd. He's a softball nerd, but he's going into this pretty seriously. And so I guess they had a forum at the at Rocky Mountain Oyster Club yesterday for the Republican CD2 candidates. If anyone was there and loved to give us a review of how they did, give us a holler at 790-2040.
Tell us, oh, wise man, look at that. What
Arabic.
Who's in CD2 at the moment?
That would have to be the useless, well, the other useless one, Ann Kirkpatrick.
Oh,
the border congresswoman who does nothing about the border.
Jeez, there's nothing about much of anything. Thank you.
So remember when Schweikert said that day that the working poor is doing better than ever, right? We just had that stats from the Council of Economic Advisors.
Yes,
that the bottom 50% had a 47% bump in.
That's big numbers.
Yeah,
that's huge numbers.
See, this is what happens. Right? Let's remember our Schweikert conversation from Thursday or the Thursday before, where he said when you relieve the burden on the job creators.
Yes.
Right. Whether through tax reform, regulation. Give people more back of their, you know, remember you guys had a bump in your a decrease in your withholding of your paycheck, so you're bringing a little more money home. And then at the same time, when you limit the amount of illegal immigration coming into your country, you bring value back to the working poor's labor.
Give them jobs.
Right?
Thank you.
Well,
instead of taking
Ann Kirkpatrick couldn't give a flying crap about the working poor.
No.
Actually, she doesn't even know where she could walk by the working poor right now and not even know what that means. It reminds me of that, you know, actually, if you guys, this is deep reference movie, 80s Time Bandits, done by Terry Gilliam, and John Cleese plays Robin Hood, and he goes, oh, come over here. Would you like to meet the poor? Why don't you come meet the poor? It's like, that could be the new Ann Kirkpatrick, you know, junket fact-finding mission. So this is the stuff we got to get through today, and this is with... Literally, I'm not going to do any of this in the third hour because Zach and I are going to be doing our thing, right? So we got to give you the summary of the state of the state with Governor Ducey. We got to do that. Chuck wants to buy you a new lawnmower. We got to talk about the Board of Supes agenda today. Let's get this. I teased this yesterday. We did have a killing in Pliskin Acres on Thursday, and this is the part that was so magical. This is what's going on in Ed's town that he's the mayor of, okay? They found Thursday night, 11 o'clock, they found Mr. Sandoval laying dead in the middle of the street with obvious signs of gunshot trauma.
Mm-hmm.
The release did not give details of the vehicle the witness said they heard drive off. But that's, so we have dead people just laying on the streets with multiple shots in Ed's hood.
That's normal. It's not right, but it's normal.
We got to do, we got some local TV stuff. The rowdiness of Congress, even though they said east side on KVOA, it's more like central town, central part of Tucson, homeless people invading backyards. We got to do that. I got the Rhonda Pena first court last year, the filing period of, the reporting period from last year. So we got to get that. It's a who's who of everyone who pretty much ever tried to shove crappy bonds down your throat. Now they're going to shove Rhonda down your throat. What else do we got here today? We have to do... hold on. We got some... Green Valley News, George Encinas is really doing good reporting down there. We have two things. There's a state legislator down in that area and talking about... an interesting thing right out the bat that she would like to get done. We're not going to get the priestly celibacy today, said to say, Ed. Sorry. I know that's something you wanted to talk about. Sex ed ban. Center for Biological Diversity. Let's just get this one out real quick. Rahina's employer is, of course, filing lawsuits against the Trump administration for failing to prevent livestock from damaging southwestern rivers and streams.
It's my fault. My fault. The livestock are eating.
They are allowing the Forest Service and Fish and Wildlife are violating the Endangered Species Act by allowing cows to trample rivers and streams.
Yeah, there you go. Please, no more natural habitat on the natural habitat, please.
And then probably one of the
they gotta sue somebody. That's the only way they make money.
And then Cory Booker's out of the presidential race. I know.
I don't even know who Cory Booker is. So,
you know what that means, right? Now the presidential candidates for the Democrats are older and whiter than ever.
Oh, okay.
Who's their three front runners, right?
Bernie, Biden, and Liz. Warren, yes.
Right?
And so now, that was the top of the hour headline was Bernie and Liz. I mean, that's not even news. Okay, they didn't even say the other guy dropped out. The big thing was that Bernie said something about sex, gender or something, and that was like national news. It's like, no, it's not.
So for a bunch of Democrats who keep complaining about the old white guy in the in the White House, you're throwing three old white people at them. When you add up their ages, it's like 250. Let's go to now let's do this big news. This is from Sam Radwani. Sam, you got to work on some better stories than this one. Need a new lawnmower or leaf blower? Pima County will help you buy one.
What?
Thank Jesus that the county. That's thank Jesus is my interjection.
Okay.
quote, the county's Department of Environmental Quality is trying a new program to clean up pollution by offering vouchers to buy new zero-emission electric lawn equipment when they...
Oh, yeah.
This is like Kazachik with the turn in the guns thing. They're going to give you a $150 voucher redeemable at Home Depot stores in the county for an electric lawnmower. How many lawnmowers are there?
This is a desert. Where's this money coming?
Now, here's
I got this. I got this press release yesterday, and I went click. Goodbye. I mean, is that news? But you know, the lady over at Environmental Protection, whatever she is over here in town, the Pima County, you know,
whatever.
Yeah. Every once in a while, about once a month, she puts out a press release just to make you know that she's still there. But when you know, when the air is bad, it takes 2 days to report it. But so here's one of her press releases. Yeah. And I went, what? I read the headline and went, that's not news. Next. Tell me something that I need to know, people.
So let's do a little quick Pima County report.
$150 for a lawnmower.
So Pima County.
You and I shall give. I should go get one, huh?
Okay, so.
You owe me one.
When you turn in your old electric, but if you turn in a gas power, if you got, they'll give you a $200 voucher.
Tell me, who has an electric lawnmower anymore? Come on.
And then you could also do it. You can get $50 for a hedge trimmer, leaf blower, chainsaw, or smaller equipment. So if you got an old piece of crap, this is how this works, right?
Yeah.
The old piece of crap that you don't use.
You know how many leaf blowers I have that don't work? This is great.
So
those trimmers, you know, then you lose part of it and then you can't trim anything anymore?
Now, we have a lot of smart slash wise asses that listen to this show. We need a good name for this program. So right now, I'm going to call it Bucks for Blowers.
Okay.
But if you guys have a good name for that, let me know. But so, okay, so Pima County is going to waste money on giving you money for your...
Jesus. Fix a road, people.
Then today, on the agenda, we have, because they have a meeting today. Let's see what we got here today. We're going to do... they're going to authorize emergency voting locations for the 2020 presidential preference election, which of course is really the Democrat primary.
Mm.
And then here it is, Board of Supervisors appointment of constable. For Precinct 8, we have the following individuals submitted their letter of interest, resume, and financial disclosure interview statement for consideration as a candidate to fill the Constable Justice Precinct 9. They also participated in a public forum conducted by the League of Women Voters. When was that? And that's George Camacho, who's a deputy constable, and Joe Ferguson from the Arizona Daily Star. So, you want a fascinating conversation? Watch those three justify hiring Joe Ferguson as a constable. Wait till that one happens.
Oh boy, it's like having them talk about leaf blowers. Yes. That'll be exciting.
All right, so we got Fergalish, Deputy Constable Fergalicious.
I've never heard this guy's name in ever, and now every day his name is in out there because they have to get this name recognition. So they go, who's that guy? Well,
I don't know what you mean.
Oh, who's this Joe Ferguson guy? You know what I mean? I mean, you know.
Right.
But you ask the guy across the street.
It's, you know, it's important.
Working at the Precision Engineering.
The reason I'm bringing this up is obviously government is a steady refuge for people escaping media.
Yeah.
And Chuck's learned how to do it better than anybody. So when you have Mark Evans, formerly of The Citizen, and again, I'll put it up later. There's an op-ed that he wrote in the Blue Check Sentinel thing about how he's not going to work for the new owners of the Weekly and the Inside Tucson Business because of his journalistic and personal integrity. And then he goes to work for Huckleberry.
Which sells out, baby.
Which, of course, pissed off everyone who ever worked anywhere near those two newspapers.
Yep.
I got Patrick McNamara, who actually was a very good, solid reporter, who also jumped into Pima County working in the $2 million department. Someone reminded me that, you know, Mindy Blake left to go work for the RTA from TV.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, here's Fergus. The Ferguson thing is so more important than any of those. Because he covered Pima County politics for years. People would have him on TV shows as if somehow or other. Some people would have him on like as some sort of expert on local politics. Right. But here's a guy who, just like Tim Steller, is the Sergeant Schultz of local Democrats. The I see nothing syndrome. So now the guy who's given a pretty good pass to the three Democrats and Huckleberry,
sure,
is now up for an appointment for a $67,000 plus Benny's job, being a quote constable. That's why it's important that we bring it up to see that quid pro quo,
sure,
thing work between local government. Well, let's not say local government, between Pima County and people who are covering them. So. Best thing that, you know, the best thing for this show would be in relation to keep describing this is they're going to screw over Mr. Camacho and give the job to Joe Ferguson.
Sure.
And I pray to God that Richard Elias, hey Richard, resist, much love, says something like, you know, I'm really looking forward to Joe's, you know, balanced and sensitive approach to throwing people out of their homes. I can see something like that. Or, you know, the other thing we learned from the Green Valley News on one of the reporters did a ride along with a constable down there. The amount of people who aren't paying their wastewater bill is off the wall. The guy couldn't believe how many times this guy was dropping off notices we're shutting off your wastewater. So anyway, let's keep an eye out. Constable Joe, possibly, by 11 o'clock today. Wake
got
up,
a government
Tucson.
Job, baby.
10:30, The Voice. I got to get some brewed coffee to go with Ed's cannoli. Wake up. Welcome back to Wake Up Tucson, 10:30, The Voice, local news and talk. This hour brought to you by our great friends at Cabco AZ Central Arizona Block. Bricks, Blocks, Pavers, three locations, Valencia near the Air Space Museum, Wetmore in the acres of Pliskin, and Sierra Vista. We got to get to, let's see, next segment I'll do the Rhonda Pena campaign finance. And then I have a Sharon Chuck, Richard Ramon slap in the taxpayer's face moment that's coming up tomorrow. But we'll tell you about it. They really can't stand you, people. I just want to tell you. They really can't stand you. But let's get to the Gov. He's going to be here doing the rubber chicken. I can't say the name of the organization that's putting it on and going to make probably $50,000 in profit on it while you eat rubber chicken because I'll be a sexist, misogynist, insensitive beast, according to their CEO and all of her little echo chamber that goes, yeah, you go, girl. You go. Oh, I didn't say that. Now, what do we got here today? 2020 State of the State. Doug gave it yesterday at the state capitol. We're going to do... He's got his, we're still in the middle of his 20 for 20 plan, you know, to raise teacher salaries. Now we have an, oh, that's true. We're going to have a coalition of, well, education groups. It's the teachers union. A statewide ballot. They're going to try to collect signatures by trying to raise $940 million a year, increasing the taxes on people that make more than $250,000 a year. So they're going to do the old tax the rich to pay for education, again, while ignoring what goes down at their regular school boards, as usual. Doug wants to provide more funding for ongoing basins for schools to hire counselors and police as school resource officers, covering all costs of low-income students to take advanced placement tests, because usually it's, what, 60, 80 bucks to take a test for the APs. Gives schools money and support to follow Project Rocket, a turnaround program created by Valley school superintendents to produce. Oh, you don't want to do that down here. You don't want to do turnaround plans down here. You don't have the elected officials that want to do it most of the time, especially at the TUSD place. We're, oh, who cares about civics celebration? That's cute. What else? Oh, this is a big one. And this is really smart politically. He is calling for the legislature to refer to the ballot a referendum allowing all voters to decide whether sanctuary cities should be legal in Arizona. Now, what's really amazing about this, so why referendum? Why not just pass a law, right?
Uh-huh.
Because no. If it turns purple, they lose the state house, they can flip it. If you go to the ballot and the voters do it, then it's permanent.
Mm-hmm.
Without, well, semi-permanent. You'd have to go back to the voters again to kill it. So there's two things
so
here.
Let the voters speak.
Right. So yep. There's two smart ways. The reason this is smart politically is if it happens, and it probably will, then sanctuary cities are pretty much dead in Arizona for a long, long time. But more importantly, in a very important election year, he is going to put every Democrat representative and state senator on the record
mm-hmm.
on whether or not they want sanctuary cities.
That's great. That's
the
brilliant.
Part that's really smart about this.
Yeah.
So that's one that they know Democrats statewide are going to lose on.
Yep. They have to be for it.
Think about it. Here's the T.J. Shope, one of the leaders of the legislature, is going to be the guy in charge of this, but this is what's going to happen, right? This is the ad. Uber liberal Grijalva crazy ass Tucson shot down sanctuary city. Now we need to close the door on this forever. Boom. And that's what you do.
Hopefully.
Basically, you take every one of those op-eds that a Democrat wrote last year, like the Mayor Rothschild and all that stuff, and you bring them all back again and you blast them statewide saying, look, Democrats in Tucson think sanctuary city's dumb. Except for Richard Elias.
He's a visionary.
He wants that bridge that goes over the Gila River between Tucson and Phoenix, that dumb four-lane thing. He wants to go 8 lanes on it. And because it's part of the widening.
That's the one that goes over the reservation, right?
Right.
That's the only place that's not widened, and the reservation doesn't want them to widen.
Well, that's done. That part's done. They're going to do it. But it takes a while, and I'm sure that, you know, the tribe, you know, drag their feet.
I'm sure they get paid. And that's fine.
That's part of probably why the feet were dragged, is maybe the state didn't have the total money to pay them. And then the tribe's like, oh, you want to come through our land?
Give me
fine.
Some money.
That's fine. I got it.
Yeah, when everybody gets theirs.
I'm okay. So anyway, so that's going to be part of the widening. So there'll be at least 6 lanes going from Tucson to Phoenix. And part of it, yeah, I know you guys are like, oh, now I get to go up to the, you know, wherever I'm going in Phoenix faster. And that's cute. This is about freight.
Mm.
There's a safety freight. There's so much freight going down I-10. And then when you go from this 3 lanes coming out of Phoenix, then the 2 lanes, and then the 3 lanes, it's unsafe and it's a pain in the butt. And then we're also going
to I got to talk to the old folks, the old folks around here about this for a second.
Sure.
It's just a memory. But being an old guy, that's all I have left in memory. So driving up to every concert in Phoenix forever because they didn't play down here hardly too much.
I'm with you.
You know, and you would drive up there and it'd be 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So you get there for a 7, 8 o'clock concert. And over on the right, over that bridge, right by that bridge, you know, there's a lot of not really big, you know, structures there. And then there was the turkey. Do you remember the turkey? There was a stump that looked like a turkey.
Oh, yeah.
All right?
Sure.
And then finally got burned out like 20 years later. Somebody burnt the turkey down. But you would go by and you would wave at the turkey. So I'm not crazy. If you remember those days going to see like Creedence and, you know Springsteen and all those guys.
Or Yes.
This was before that.
It's never before, yeah. Nothing's before Yes. Everything started when Yes started.
B-Y. Okay.
Mr. Springsteen.
A-Y. After Yes. Okay.
So anyway.
I'm sorry.
No. This is fine. This is the cute banter we have together, and that's nice. I tell you, when I look at some of this other stuff, we're going to talk about. Well, there's so much stuff to talk about as we move through here. He wants health insurers to cover mental health. Just like they cover an annual physical, but that'll be interesting. And then he talks about regulations. He says he's directing state agency that any new rule or regulation, they must eliminate 3.
Wow.
Is what he's telling folks. So anyway, it was... and then he said no... Originally, I thought there was going to be something where he's going to do a tax cut, but then it sounds like... He's not going to tolerate any raise in taxes. So we got to figure that out as we all move through here. So when we come back, let me share with you, Rolanda Pena got in there earlier than anyone else to replace Allie because she was originally recruited to kill Allie. So we have her first campaign finance report, and I'll read you the who's who of Tucson's supporters for Rolanda Pena. And we'll see what we learn from what we read. Okay? So, one last thing, Ed, before you go to break. This is Rosanna Gabaldon, who is a state representative. This is from George Encinas's reporting down in the Green Valley News. George is doing really good work down there. Thank God she's really working on the good stuff, right? Here's a Southern Arizona... district that includes Greens Valley, Sarita, you know, you're close to the border. But the first thing out of the box for Rosanna Gabaldon is we must have the non-binary gender on the state driver's license.
This is important.
So she's really working hard on male, female, and non-binary.
There you go. Are non-binaries allowed to vote?
As Joe Higgins used to say, work on the big ones and then get to the smaller ones later after you fix the big problems.
Yeah.
But of course, we're doing this. Thanks, Rosanna.
Thank you.
You know what you are? You're a gosh darn visionary.
That's it. Her and Elias, yeah.
So we got to get to the Rolanda Pena for, she's running for District 1 supervisor. Her and I had like an hour and 45-minute cup of coffee last week. She says she's been a Republican since 1983. She's already got $72,000 for a race that's on August 4th. But this all happens because literally it sounds like she was recruited by Bill Ossenmacher, who hates Allie Miller, and this was his kill Allie Miller candidate. And then Allie ruined it for him by saying she's not running for office. So he's stuck with Rhonda. So here we go. Let's see who we got here. Vicky Cox Golder, real estate broker. Of course, she's on the Amphi board and the Golder Ranch board, I think. She stroked 3,000 bucks to Rolanda Pena. Molly Ossenbacher, who I assume is Bill's wife, and Bill stroked together $13,000 just themselves for Rhonda Pena. Herb Kai, of course, a developer. It says he's a farmer. That's cute. I guess he's kind of a farmer, but it works out better tax-wise, I assume. He's $1,500 in. What else do we got here? Matt Bingham from HUD Bay Minerals. Director of Legal and Public Affairs, $200. Well, that makes sense because Bill does stuff with HUD Bay, so that makes sense that he would kind of make that happen.
The mining stuff, yes.
Right, but of course, remember, Bill, I don't want to ruin your day, but remember the only person who, the only elected official who's been longest supporting the project at the mine has been Allie Miller, the one you hate so much. But just wanted to remind you that. Then we have Gary Brav from BFL Construction. You're going to see a little bit of a, you're going to see a lot of that builder developer development thing here.
A little bit, yeah.
Especially because, again, this is part of the whole Pima County thing. These are very similar people you'll see on a Sharon Bronson campaign report. Now, I tried to look at Sharon's, but for some reason, you can't open up her report. So, Chuck, I don't know why you're, hopefully that's just a snaff, just a little bit of a problem. I'm sure it is.
Talk to the communications department about that.
Then, of course, David Goldstein, president of operations for Diamond Ventures. He's in for $1,500. Another Kai family member is in for $100. Another high Kai for $100. Bill Kelly from Diamond Ventures, the CFO, he's only in for $500. Of course, Helene Levy, principal executive director of the Diamond Family Philanthropies. She's in for $1,000 on Rhonda Pena. Mike Roussad, who I think is he's married to a member of the Diamond World. He's in for $500.
All land developers, folks. That's all we're talking here. Okay.
Then Walt Richter from Southwest Gas is in for $200. And Southwest Gas is usually in for whatever the powers that be want to do.
They could take him out to lunch or they could give him $200.
Priscilla Storm, Vice President Government Relations, Diamond Ventures, $500. Leonard Tieber, lawyer, $200. That's nothing. Come on, Leonard. You do better than that. Bobby Tucker, project manager, Diamond Ventures. He only got in for $250.
She's pretty cheap for buying off here.
Thomas Warren, of course, Tom is a real estate developer. He's in for $2,500. Charles Horvath, who, of course, does a lot of... if it's the Horvath, I think he's the guy working with Bert on the Oro Valley Marketplace.
Sure,
but I can't believe he's only in for $100. That doesn't make sense.
Well, that guy who was in for $2,500 looks like a sucker now, huh?
And then, of course, Omar Morales, who's Bert's nephew who runs HSL, he's in for the full boat of $6,400 on, and he was before. I mean, the HSL guys are pretty invested in the Oro Valley Council, folks.
They suckered him into a golf course.
Chris Evans, a real estate broker for HSL. He's only in for $500. Now, Ossenmacher is good buddies with Click, so him and the missus are in for $13,000 on it. Oh, and thank Jesus. This is Rhonda, can you tell this guy? You guys are so dumb. Make this guy do it later. Do you guys understand how to run a campaign? Larry Hecker's in for $1,000 on you.
The lawyer.
Come on. Come on. You got to be smarter than that. Some marketing assistant for Kate Industries, which is Bill's company, in for $100. Jeff Caesar's in for $500. They're buddies. And then John Lewis from the Commerce Bank is only in for a lousy $200. So anyway, and then she got $1,000 from the Northwest Firefighters Political Action Committee. And then Southwest Gas's PAC gave her $1,000.
All folks who want stuff. In return.
And then Rhonda loaned herself 20 G's to get to 70. So that's where we're at there. So birthdays and holidays, we do have to do those, even though it's a very busy day.
No, you have to.
Very important. I'm working on a very fast workforce development playlist for Ed. It's a combination of some education and songs for the working humans out there.
Ah.
But we have, I would say, of course, let's get to the biggies. Zach Wilde, of course, guitarist for Ozzy Osbourne. He's pretty good at what he does. Of course, LL Cool J. His birthday today. And then, of course, Dave Grohl, Nirvana, and Foo Fighters.
Mm-hmm. That's the big one.
I would say those are the... I think that's it. That's for that one. And then we got to get to, of course...
But
what?
Holidays.
Oh, there's some good holidays.
I know.
There's some great
I'm excited, actually, about this.
Now, first and foremost, at Alexander, we have it's C-section day.
Oh, well, I didn't know that.
Yep.
Thank you for enlightening me.
International Kite Day.
Mm.
National Poetry at Work Day. Let's see what else we got here. We have National Poetry at Work Day.
Yeah, you said that, yeah.
Oh, sorry. Organize Your Home Day.
It is.
Very
yes.
important.
Yesterday was Clean Your Desk Day, I think.
And now there's one I really reluctantly want
to
give
No,
up
no,
today.
Let's get to it. There's two of them, actually. One is, if you're going to go to the other one, I think you One is Hot Pastrami Sandwich Day.
Correct. That was the that was the one I was going to do last.
I'm loving that. Okay.
We'll talk about that in a second.
Okay.
And then this is the problem one.
No.
National Dress Your Pet Up Day.
Yepers, I got to call Mrs. Alexander. I'll be right back. Hold on.
I rarely like my dogs in a sweater, for God's sakes, let alone you people.
Little hats, little, you know, reindeer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we get those around the house.
Well,
I'm sorry.
Enjoy your animals dropping of their self-respect.
Well, like I said on the station down the hall.
So hot pastrami, let's get to it real quick. I assume the places we can get a good hot pastrami in this town, you guys can call me, but right off the top of my head, number one sausage shop. For God's sakes, Kent actually does the pastrami first from scratch and then making killer variety of sandwiches with the pastrami. So Kent and Barb, if you're listening, hot pastrami day. Someone's got to tell me if that Fifth Avenue Deli is worth a crap or Fifth Street Deli. Someone's got to tell me that that used to be the Feig's place, right?
Right. Fifth and Rosemont.
Does that place make a pastrami that's worth a crap anymore? I assume you can get a good one at Beyond Bread.
Remember
they won some contest with their pastrami sandwich
That's
or something
the
like
that? That's the one on the pretzel roll, right?
Right.
Saturdays only.
Right.
That's great.
So that's another
that
one.
That is excellent. I'll tell you, I had one last week at Famous Sam's, and it's still good. It used to be sometimes it was really good and sometimes it was really fatty or stuff like that, but the last couple of times, and it's not very often, and so let's try it, and it was really good.
That's good. The last time I went to Famous Sam's and actually had a decent one was 28 years ago with my dad at the one on Camino Seco and Speedway.
Some of them still can make it. It's good.
Okay.
Good to know. Yep. This was the one on Northwest side at Thornydale and River.
All right. When we come back, we got Phil Kirp and American Commitment, Tim Sandifer from the Goldwater Institute.
Yeah, heavy, heavy load here.
Zach will be here for the third hour from Tipping Point, the show that's after me. And we're going to talk about workforce development, what it really means, because I feel like it's a cover for some of these places that they're really it's a nice term that the leaders of this town like to use, but it really doesn't work in reality.